Well, good morning, everybody. Well, you wait for it all week. Here you go. Your weekly Pope trivia is as follows. For the first 55 popes, they didn't change their names. But that all changed in the mid-500s. I think it was 556, when it was the 56th pope who was elected. It was a priest by the name of Father Mercury, of all things. And he became pope, and he thought that it probably wouldn't be a good idea for the pope to have the name of a false Roman god. And so he changed his name, and now there was already a Pope John before him, so he became Pope John II. And that began the tradition of the pope having a new name when he becomes pope. There you go. Now, I'm thinking about miracles today because of our gospel today, which is really beautiful. It got me thinking of a beautiful story. There was this very, very devout shepherd, and he had his Bible, and he took his Bible with him throughout the course of the day's work. And one day, one of his lambs got loose, and so a wayward lamb. And the guy's looking for it everywhere, so he sets down his Bible. He can't remember where he puts his Bible. And so he keeps, whatever. 3 weeks go by, and he can't find that Bible. Until finally, thank heavens, a sheep comes up to this guy. And in the mouth of the sheep is the man's Bible. And the man, the shepherd, he gets on his knees. He says, "Thank you, Lord." And he takes the Bible out of the mouth of the sheep. And he's, "Miracle, miracle." And the sheep says, "It's not really a miracle. Your name was written in the front cover." Folks, sometimes we can dismiss miracles. It's like the story of the guy who's looking for a parking spot. And he prays, "Lord, give me a parking spot." Finally, 10 minutes later, a parking spot comes up. He says, "That's okay, Lord. I found my own." You know, like, we could dismiss miracles very easily. Thomas Jefferson, I don't know what you think of that guy, but I don't like one thing about him, and that is that he decided it was a good idea to take his Bible and to rip out all of the miracles of our blessed Lord because they didn't jive with his scientific thinking. And so he took out the miracles of Jesus in his Bible. Now, that was the Jeffersonian Bible. It never became very popular, thankfully. Wisely so, because I would be afraid of a God that wasn't in control, and a God that couldn't do everything and isn't doing everything, and a God who didn't care, and a God who wasn't all-powerful. These two stained glass windows that we have in our church, you know, these tell the chronological story of Jesus. Annunciation of Jesus, the very beginning, kind of right here, and then it goes all the way to the resurrection. Those two back there are two miracles. That's the first miracle that we have a record of in the Bible that Jesus worked, and that was at the wedding feast of Cana. And then over here we have the miracle of Jairus' daughter, the healing of his daughter, which we had in our gospel a few weeks ago. But those two windows are huge because they encapsulate in our beautiful little church here the all of the miracles that Jesus did and all of the miracles that Jesus is doing now. We got to be careful if we become like Thomas Jefferson and dismiss miracles. Or if we were to think that, well, here's the Bible and these are the miracles that Jesus worked back then. He doesn't do anything now. Baloney. Jesus is working miracles in our lives constantly. Constantly. Did you pick up on our opening hymn today? All things bright and beautiful. Each little flower that opens, each little bird that sings, God made their glowing colors. God made their tiny wings. The purple-headed mountains, the river running by, the sunset and the morning, the brightens up the sky. Like, two more verses. But all of these miracles that surround us every single day. Miracle, miracle, miracle. And Jesus is in the business of doing miracles in our lives. I saw on Facebook a few weeks ago, it was, you know, we were having all these lightning bugs this year. And there was this funny little meme, and it had a picture of a lightning bug. And it said, "If God can make a bug's butt light up, think what he can do for your life." You know, like, it's so true. And think about what he is doing in our own life. Our gospel today gives us a good equation for a miracle. how to experience a miracle. I wonder if Thomas Jefferson just never opened himself up to experience one. Here's how you do it. Faith plus generosity equals miracle. And I'm talking true faith. Faith that is in the core of who we are. Faith that God can do everything and anything, and that God is doing everything. Every heartbeat is a miracle. Every breath is a miracle. Every life is a miracle. I baptized this beautiful girl yesterday, looked in her eyes, I'm thinking, miracle. Everywhere, miracle. Like, God can do anything, and He is doing everything. And that God cares about us. God knows us, and He loves us. That's faith. And did you notice in the gospel, Jesus knows what the people need even before He tests Philip, but He already knew, right? Like, Jesus knows what we need. And we got to believe that He cares, and that God, that Jesus is giving us everything that we need. Everything that we have is a miracle. The second piece of that equation is generosity. This guy and this kid in our gospel, he's got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And he and all of them give everything to Jesus. Everything. Talk about generosity. And it's not, he could have said, well, I better keep a loaf for my family. I better keep a fish in case I get hungry tonight. He gave everything to our blessed Lord. And couple that generosity with faith, and you get miracles. You get a miracle like this one right here. I remember going to Holy Mass at the very place where this happened. And when we go on our pilgrimage here in November, we're going to have the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the very altar that is on top of the place where this happened, where Jesus truly worked a miracle, and where he is working miracles constantly. Like, 5,000 men, plus the women, plus the children, and plus leftovers is what Jesus produced with faith and generosity of the people. Holy Moses, think of what He does in our own lives. It's incredible. I was talking with Abraham over there at Cholula's, and he tells the story to everybody, and I was thinking, what miracle should I share with you? I could share with you a bunch of them. But this might be one of my favorite ones. He was in the hospital for over a month in a coma. I guess that's what they call it when you're just kind of asleep all the time. And he had COVID. This was about a year ago. And nobody thought he'd make it. And it was really, really kind of bad for a while. Really bad. And about 6-7 weeks into that whole thing, of course, Abraham has the 3 a.m. holy hour at the chapel every single day. And so I've been doing many of those holy hours. Well, I decided I was going to, it was a Thursday, I do Mass every single day, but I don't have a scheduled Mass on Thursday. It's my day off, but I still do Holy Mass every single day. So I'll do Mass for Abraham. He'll be my Mass intention today in the chapel where he spent every 3 a.m. hour all the way since the chapel opened. And the hour when he was used, accustomed to receiving the body and blood of Jesus in the presence of our Lord. And okay, I'm just going to do Mass for him. He'll be my Mass intention. So I celebrate Holy Mass. And later on that day, I get a call from his wife. And she says, she was very excited. And she said, I have good news. She said, something went really bad this morning about 3 o'clock in the morning. So they gave him they did some surgery of some nature, and including a blood transfusion and all this. And ever since, things have been looking really good. And I got to think of, like, at the very hour when Jesus was pouring out his blood in that chapel for this man on the other side of town, he's receiving blood and he's healed. And the other day, a few weeks ago was his beautiful daughter's quinceañera. And he gave a beautiful talk in front of everybody at the party about how everything is a miracle in his life, and how it was beautiful. And I was about teared. It was the faith of this guy, the faith of his family, and the faith of this church that was praying for him constantly. And the faith, plus the generosity of, Lord, I give everything to you, which is what he prays all the time, what his family prays, what we all, cup miracle. Miracle. And man, miracles are going on like this all of the time. We've got several parishioners who are the product of miracles. The fact that they're even here right now still is a miracle. But there's a lot of them who are in heaven because of miracles. Miracles are all over the place. And our job, I think, is to believe in them firmly. Firmly, with everything we have. And to have eyes open to look for them all of the time. And at this table, right here, this altar, we participate in the greatest miracle of all, where Jesus takes the simple stuff of bread and wine and turns it into the means of our salvation, because he turns it into his body and blood. He who is the life, who is the resurrection, gives us that life in the Holy Mass, at the Holy Eucharist. That is the greatest miracle of all. And may we never, ever, ever take it for granted. The homework that I'm giving everybody this week is to tell somebody about a miracle that you've received in your life. And there are so many. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.